hand from the ring, then freeze in place. He straightened his spine, moving his hand away from the ring and then stopped moving entirely. Near me, Jin and Sarah had both drawn weapons, but they didn't seem to know who to point them at. "Now, everyone be calm," Orden began. Derek visibly slumped, and Orden frowned. "I didn't mean you, Derek." "Bah!" She shook her head, turning toward me. "Now, Corin, I commend your observation, but you should have simply said something to me in private if you had concerns. Derek is under my control for all of our safety. You are, after all, the one who told me that you suspected he'd been involved in Tenjin's capture." I sighed. "I was suspicious of him, yes, but this doesn't seem like an appropriate response." Orden raised an eyebrow. "How so? Too extreme of a precaution? I do remind you that he's an emerald." Vera frowned.
"She's got a point, Corin. You think he's the swordsman I saw before?"
I shook my head. "I was considering it, but I'm finding it less likely now. Professor, I'm not worried that it's too extreme of a precaution. My problem is that if you can control his actions, you could have determined if he was guilty the moment he slipped on the ring, and you chose not to use it for that purpose." Orden opened her hands upward in a gesture of concession. "True, but that was trying to be subtle. I didn't want anyone to have undue suspicions of Derek if it wasn't necessary. Moreover, now that he's aware of the ring, he's undoubtedly going to try to find a way to break out. Difficult, to be sure. The ring is directly on his skin, so his shroud can't help. Still, I would have rather kept him unaware of the ring except for emergency situations." "Well," I began, "now that he knows, there's a simple way to resolve some of this. Order him to answer all of my questions directly and honestly, and I'll ask him if he was involved."
"Why the extra layer? I could simply ask him myself."
"Because you've already been manipulating him to support your arguments, like, for example, to leave me behind. I don't trust you not to phrase questions in a way that forces him to reply the way you want him to."
"Very well. I'll humor you."
Orden turned to Derek. "Derek, answer Corin's questions completely honestly." I backed up a bit, putting my back to the door to the spider room, so I could easily look to see both Derek and Orden on opposite sides of the chamber. "Derek, were you involved in the disappearance of Visage Tenjin?" He shivered. I braced myself, my hand going to the sword at my side, but his reply was simple.
"No."
I nodded, relaxing my grip on the weapon. "Okay. Have you ever attacked Visage Tenjin or any other visage?"
"No."
"When you entered this tower, did you do so with the intent of causing harm to anyone here?"
"Not if it was avoidable."
I raised an eyebrow.
"Elaborate."
He didn't reply. I didn't ask him a question. Gotta rephrase. "Under what circumstances would you have caused harm to a member of this group?" Derek focused his eyes on me.
"If someone attempted to stop you from fulfilling your mission, I would have intervened on your behalf."
I glanced back to Orden, worried that she might try something drastic, but she didn't seem to be making any moves just yet. I turned back to Derek. "Are you aware of anything related to Tenjin's disappearance?"
"Yes."
"There we go." "What do you know about it?" His eyes shifted to Orden, then back to me.
"I have a pretty good idea of who was involved and why."
I nodded. "Who was involved and what do you know about their motives?"
"The initial group that entered the tower consisted of Vera, my friend Carter, Allura Theus, and some others from Kaelford that I didn't know. Carter and Allura were working with some kind of secret society. I don't know all the details, but when Tenjin showed up with his attendants, Carter and Allura started a fight. Tenjin's attendants stabbed him in the back, and I'm pretty sure they were..."
"Derek, stop." Orden clapped her hands, and Derek shut his jaw. Orden smiled. "Well, this is all quite interesting. It's obvious Derek wasn't responsible." I turned back to her. "What are the odds that one of the names he was about to say was Professor Orden?" "Quite high, I'd say, although my friends usually call me Lyris. Yes, yes, I had Tenjin kidnapped. I was truly hoping to avoid this conversation, but I suppose it's inevitable now." Jin raised a pistol, not quite pointing it at Orden, but keeping it at the ready.
"We may be having a bit more than a conversation."
She looked at Jin with a hint of surprise, like she was seeing him for the first time. Then, blinking, she continued,
"Oh, don't be so eager for violence, Jin. I believe you'll agree with me when you hear my motives. But even if not, I would urge you not to attempt any violence. After all, Derek was the only one of you who presented any threat to me, and he's quite thoroughly under my control." Ordin rubbed her forehead.
"Really, this is such a bother."
Sarah glanced at me, then meaningfully shifted her eyes toward Derek. I shook my head just slightly.
"Not yet, Sarah, but I'm glad you're ready."
"Okay, Professor," I waved a hand at her. "Tell us why you kidnapped a visage." Ordin chuckled.
"Oh, it's so much more than that, Corin. You're thinking too small. Why don't you ask Vera what she was doing in the tower in the first place?"
I didn't take the bait, so I just shrugged. "Research? Artificial attunements or something like them?"
Vera winced. "That may be a slight understatement."
"Oh, goddess, curse it, Vera, what now?"
Without looking away from Ordin, I said, "Okay, Vera, fill us in."
Vera nodded.
"Guess there's no point to keeping it a secret now. You met Ekion, yeah? Well, he's the result of a joint defense project between Kaelford and Velia. An extremely important project, one we've been working on for decades. Something that could have helped keep us safe from Edria for generations."
Professor Ordin raised a hand to her chin.
"You're still dodging the real issue, Vera. Why don't you tell us exactly what Ekion is?"
"He's..." Vera glanced from side to side.
"His attunement is unique. It's not like a human attunement. It's structured more like the power used by a god beast."
Okay, Ordin might have succeeded at deflecting our attention after all. Everyone's eyes shifted to Vera. I replied first.
"Wait, what?"
Vera scratched the back of her head sheepishly.
"We've been able to replicate existing attunements for years. Ekion is our first success at making a completely new one. It's distinct from what the goddess grants and vastly more powerful than any individual standard attunement. He's still learning how to use it, but eventually..."
"Eventually you'd be like a human with the power of a god beast," Jin concluded.
"That's a line of research I wouldn't mind hearing more about, but it obviously has the potential to be dangerous, and it sounds like they weren't careful enough."
Vera closed her eyes. "That's the light of it. We brought him here to test him in the tower, but someone must have tipped Tengen off. Carter or Alora, I suppose. I still don't understand why. They were both a part of the project."
"Because you lacked foresight." Professor Ordin raised a hand and pointed up.
"Tengen was always going to find you in the tower. We just expedited the process, and we saved you from him. Tengen would have annihilated your group. I know because he told me. I am one of his whispers, after all."
Vera stepped toward Ordin, arms folded.
"Well, if you were doing us such a great favor, you could have told us about it. And, you know, not beat the pants off of us afterward."
Ordin opened both hands in a gesture of peace.
"If all had gone according to plan, you would have woken up safely in a lab with the rest of your companions, who are all safe, I assure you, and cooperating nicely."
I sincerely doubt that last part, unless by cooperating she means under the control of magic rings.
Ordin glanced away from Vera. "Unfortunately, Tengen didn't fall quite as easily as we expected. He managed to cast a spell to summon help before he lost consciousness. We were forced to grab the people closest to us and flee. Sadly, that led to Katashi finding your unconscious body at the scene and throwing you into prison. It took some time before one of my fellow companions was able to make enough adjustments to lead someone to your prison to free you."
I raised an eyebrow.
"If you had influence over the tower, why not just free her directly?"
The professor opened a hand.
"If he'd simply freed Vera directly, he'd have been noticed. But whispers work within the tower and often make layout changes. Making a trail for you just looked like he was doing an extension of his normal work. Katashi would have discovered the tampering if he checked the prison in any detail, of course, but he's never been much of an investigator. We gave him a false enemy and he followed that lead instead."
"Karis," I realized. "When we freed him at the same time as Vera, he became the primary suspect. Both for me and, presumably, for Katashi as well. You used Karis to distract away from what you were up to."
Sarah pointed her sword at Ordin. "And all those Edrian troops began maneuvering. Your work as well, I take it?
Oh, goddess, no. None of this was ever truly an Edrian conspiracy. They're always maneuvering. I did enjoy deflecting investigations in that direction, however. I have no doubt that there truly are Edrian spies and agents in our midst, but I am not one of them. Ordon sighed. In fact, protecting our nation from Edrian influence is a large part of why we took the actions we did. They have had decades to grow unchecked, with full access to two towers. Our spies believe that Melkir, one of their visages, may be training their forces directly. Our defenses are insufficient, and that is why we must take drastic steps. Ordon turned to Vera. Echion was an excellent start, but one artificial attuned is insufficient. Our tests indicated that he's probably around Derek's level of strength and still growing stronger. Quite impressive for a child, but not enough to defend a nation on his own, and certainly not both Kaelferd and Velia.
You want to make more of the new attuned, Vera surmised.
That was always the plan, but we needed time. Ordon waved a hand dismissively. And that's why we acted, darling. Because you and your friends from Kaelferd spent years monitoring one test sample when you could have been growing dozens. We would have given you the resources. Vera set her jaw. This we you're referring to? It's not just a small conspiracy, is it?
Ordon shook her head.
Not at all, dear. She turned toward Derek. Derek, dear, stop trying to free yourself.
A glance toward Derek showed him tremble, then go still again.
Now, Ordon continued. Where were we? Ah, yes. I'm working as an extension of the Council of Lords. There is no conspiracy. Just covert actions taken without the knowledge of the general populace, all for the sake of Velia's survival.
I could understand the logic.
I had some moral questions about the idea of creating new attuned for the express purpose of warfare, even if they were meant to be deterrents to an invasion rather than offensive tools. But I still could see where she was coming from. In some senses, I wanted to agree with her. Learning to create our own attunements so that we didn't have to send more children to die in the spires was a noble goal. Making new attunements that were better than the existing ones had a strong appeal, too. I'd be researching it myself if I had the capability. I didn't even mind being lied to or manipulated. I was a little hurt, but I'd be deceptive if I had to do it for a cause on that scale. I saw flaws in Ordon's plan on other levels, though. More practical ones.
You said before that Tengen would have destroyed everyone if you hadn't incapacitated him. What happens when the other visages find out about this? You can't conceal working on a bunch of artificial attuned forever. What's your plan?
Ordon nodded. If you're all willing to cooperate, I will take Vera to the rest of her team. They need her help in order to continue their studies in an efficient fashion. Vera quite wisely did not share all of her data publicly, and while I'm confident she has records somewhere in Kaelferd, searching for them would take some time. Cooperation would be far preferred. After that, Ordon glanced from side to side, Katashi would need to be dealt with. Ideally before your little 7-day deadline. I raised an eyebrow.
You want to kill Katashi?
She shook her head. No, no. Killing a visage or a fully grown godbeast is a terrible idea. Their mana density is too high. They'd explode like a bomb, probably leave the city a crater. We'd have to incapacitate him somehow, ideally in a way that makes Edria look responsible. Delenos will undoubtedly seek revenge if he vanishes. It would be best to point them in the direction of our enemies.
Jin trembled silently, clenching his jaw tight. I took a step closer to Ordon, balling my hands into fists. You're talking about starting a war over a lie, and that's operating under the assumption you could even hurt Katashi in the first place.
Ordon shrugged. It's not impossible. Admittedly, we knew Tengen's strengths and weaknesses from working with him for years, and he was always more of a scholar than a fighter. There is no doubt that fighting Katashi would be a more difficult endeavor, and there would likely be terrible losses. But we are fighting for the future of our country. I'm sure you can understand that.
I could understand that. The infuriating part was that she had ideas I could strongly sympathize, even agree with, if she wasn't talking about starting a war to cover her covert operations. I couldn't justify bloodshed on that scale for an experiment.
but that wasn't even my biggest problem. I folded my arms.
Not only is starting a war to deflect from your research horrifically immoral, it's an unreliable plan, and you're gambling our own nation's survival on it.
Orden waved a hand dismissively. If blaming Edria doesn't work, we'll find another route. Perhaps we don't need to move against Katashi. We can find a way to placate him before he deals too much damage. Maybe point him toward Karis again. It's a manageable problem. I saw the bodies of the soaring wings that Mizuchi had left in her wake. And with all the resolve I could muster, I clenched my fists and said something unwise. Leaving a trail of dead bodies in the wake of your schemes is not a manageable problem, Orden. If you truly want to protect Velia, you need to stop treating her civilians as acceptable losses. Orden closed her eyes.
It's a utility calculation, Corin. I put my hand on the hilt of my sword.
Let me stop you right there. We've all heard about stories of sacrificing 100 to save 1,000,000. I get the concept. That's not the core problem. The problem is that you're taking a cascading series of greater risks, and several of them have the chance to wipe out the entire population of our country. If a group of freshly attuned students can figure out your plans, do you really think no one else will?
But you didn't figure out my plans, Corin. You saw something amiss, and then I explained my plans.
I can see you're concerned, and that's understandable. We need to make certain we execute each step of this plan as perfectly as possible to mitigate the very risks you spoke of. I want to work with you, not against you. If you have an alternative suggestion, I'd be glad to hear it.
I considered that.
Let us finish our mission and deliver Vera to Katashi. Even if you want to fight him at some point, this gives you more time before he starts taking chunks out of our city. Time you can use to research him, find weaknesses like you did with Tenjin.
Not possible, I'm afraid.
We require Vera's assistance to expedite our research, and now that you all know my plans, I can't risk you making contact with Katashi. You could tell him everything I've told you.
Vera folded her arms.
And if I don't want to help with your little research plan? Orden shrugged a shoulder.
That would be quite unfortunate, but I do have more rings.
The smug expression on her face when she watched Vera's fists clench was enough to finalize my decision. I didn't draw my sword. That would be a pointless gesture, one that might have triggered a response from her. Instead, I offered her a final question. I don't suppose there's any chance that we could convince you to surrender to us. Professor Orden didn't even laugh this time.
Oh, Corin. No, there would be no chance of such a thing.
You aren't considering anything foolish, are you? I turned to Sarah and said, Signal.
I'd always wanted to make that joke.
She didn't laugh. She just spun, waved a hand, and said, Wall! A wall of ice sprung up between us and Derek.
Derek, break that wall!
Orden shouted. I heard no response from the other side. I reached into my bag, grabbed the return bell, and charged it with mana, then rang it. I'd made sure that Vera, Jin, and Sarah were in range. Nothing happened. That was when I remembered that Professor Orden had been drawing runes on the walls, presumably including anti-teleportation ones. Vera turned and blinked at me.
That clearly didn't work. Now what?
I shoved the bell back in my bag.
Now we run!
I turned, opened the door to the spider-webbed room, and stepped inside. Sarah, Jin, and Vera fell in right behind me. I slammed the door shut.
Watch for the spider!
Vera took a step closer to me.
Don't suppose you'd be willing to lend me a weapon at this point?
I rolled my eyes.
Just take the dueling cane off my belt. You should be used to it by now.
She unsnapped the cane.
Great! Brings back memories.
I sighed, reaching into my pouch and pulling out my etching rod. I knew Orden could teleport, but I could play the same way she did. In the fountain room, I could hear something slam into the ice wall, but I ignored it and focused on drawing the anti-teleportation rune. When something heavy slammed down behind me, ignoring it was harder.
Corin, there's...
Vera started.
Great spider!
Sarah began. Her voice was barely a whisper.
I am a summoner, and I wish to make a pact with you.
Oh, goddess, please let that work. I finished drawing the anti-teleportation rune, slammed my hand into it, and shoved mana into the rune as fast as I could.
I drew a second rune to make the door more resilient, charging it in seconds. My hand stung with the effort of using so much mana that quickly, but buying us time was the best thing I could think to do.
No pact, summoner. I hungry.
I spun around. Sarah was holding her throat, looking ill. I don't know why I'd expected the spider to only be human-sized, or maybe something reasonable, like wagon-sized. It turned out to have a main body more like the size of a train car, with each of its legs a 20-foot spike. It perched on a web about 10 feet up and about 40 feet distant from us. From the look of those legs, it could probably cross the distance in a single jump.
Jin, Vera, hold the door shut.
They moved to comply. I turned my head to address the spider, reaching into my bag.
Great spider! Could we interest you in eating a delicious mana crystal instead of us?
The spider clicked its mandibles together. Then I heard a reply in my mind.
Eat you first, then eat your mana crystals.
Okay, wasn't expecting it to be that smart. New tactic. I shook my head.
I'm afraid there's a problem with that. There's a really strong human in the room behind us, and she's about to break in here and eat us before you can. Could I maybe convince you to seal the door behind us shut in exchange for a mana crystal? Then you can try to eat us after that.
The spider's legs bent. That was the only warning we got. Fortunately, we were all looking right at it, and we had the instinct to scatter. The spider hit the ground with a resounding crack, smashing the ground where we'd been a moment before, and then, to my surprise, reared up and fired a gigantic web out onto the door. I was a little pleased that it had taken my idea, even if it had tried to crush us in the process. I was less pleased when I realized I dodged directly into a web, and my legs were very firmly stuck against the gooey surface. I wasn't the only one in similar shape. Sarah had it worse, having fallen backward onto a web. She was struggling, but her whole body seemed stuck. Vera and Jin had gotten out of the way successfully, though, and they were both opening fire. Jin aimed straight at the creature's head, unleashing a hail of bullets. He hit repeatedly, and the bullets sunk in, but it was unclear if they did any damage. Vera started running toward the other side of the room, deftly dodging bits of webbing while firing the dueling cane at the spider's center of mass. The bolts of mana seemed insignificant striking a creature of that size, but nevertheless, it let out a hiss and turned toward her. Apparently mana blasts hurt more than bullets, at least against giant spiders. Who knew? I drew my sword and started cutting. That didn't help much. The sword cut effectively, but it also got stuck almost immediately. After a moment of consideration, I pushed on the mana aura around the sword and managed to finish severing the first bit of web that way. After that, I turned and slashed the air to push a wave at the webbing sticking to my other leg. That got it free. I ran for Sarah, still struggling against her own web. I heard a crack as something smashed into the door near us.
Derek. He'd gotten through Sarah's wall, and he was coming for us.
Resh, I'd hoped we'd have more time. Jin and Vera continued pummeling the spider with shots, but it reared up again and blasted a vast web in Vera's direction. She managed to throw herself to the side, but it still caught her on the left arm and leg, dragging her backward with the force of the expulsion. She hit the back wall, stuck in place. I slashed in the air, making the now familiar gesture to project waves of energy to cut Sarah free. She fell backward and hit the floor when the final piece of webbing fell away. Then I helped her extract herself from the mess. Another thud against the door, and another. Derek's fist broke through and stuck on the webbing, and I rushed forward to try to grab at the ring. If I could have pulled it off, maybe I could have freed him, but he retracted his arm too quickly. The spider continued barreling toward Vera, too fast for me to catch up. I made a couple slashes in the air toward it, managing a hit against the leg, but that barely seemed to slow it down. Jin paused to reload. The spider reared up, ready to jam a spiked leg right into Vera's chest.
"Wall!"
Sarah whispered, pointing a hand and bursting into a coughing fit. The wall of ice shot upward from the floor, catching the spider's front legs and pushing them upward. The spider fell backward, chittering, and I heard a voice in my head.
No! Stop! Food mine!
I grabbed Sarah with my left arm and began to push her forward.
We needed to move. That was great, Sarah. Stay with me. She nodded, leaning heavily on me, and coughed again. Resh it all. I need to do something. Sarah, switch swords with me for a second. We swapped blades, and I felt comforted with the familiar weight of the Selyse Lian in my hand. I slashed at the air and pushed on the weapon's aura, making a wave of cutting ice. The frozen blade cut deeply into the creature's hindquarters, drawing visible blood and beginning to spread. That caught its attention. I stepped forward, letting go of Sarah briefly, and unleashed a torrent of cuts. I never tried pushing the slashes rapidly with this weapon. It turned out it didn't work as well with the one I'd made. The sword's aura was undoubtedly stronger, but after I pushed the ice away, it took a few seconds to reform around the blade. The end result was that I ended up firing out tiny, insignificant spikes of ice. They hit, but not for any significant damage, and then the spider was barreling toward me. I heard the door behind us crack again. There were several holes in it now. The rune was slowing Derek's progress, but he wasn't going to take much longer. The spider's leg came down faster than I expected, and with all my attention focused on attacking, I failed to dodge. Sarah shoved me out of the way. I stumbled, but didn't fall. The gigantic leg smashed into the ground where I'd been a moment before. For a brief, horrifying moment, I thought it had pierced Sarah instead of me, but when I saw her on the ground nearby, she wasn't bleeding. It had glanced against her, but her barrier had stopped the blow. I could see thick cracks in the barrier still visible around her. The problem was that Sarah wasn't getting up. She was conscious, but the sword had fallen from her hand, and she was only slowly pushing herself from the floor. Another spider leg was going to pin her before that happened. I didn't have the strength to stop the leg from falling, even if I hit it as hard as I could. Sarah, on the other hand, was light. I turned my gauntlet toward her and sent a burst of transference force into her. The blast slammed into her side, flipping her over and pushing her 10 feet across the floor. That looked like it hurt, but the spider's leg hit the ground harmlessly instead of pulverizing her. Another leg hit me from behind a second later, slamming me into the ground. There was a sharp jolt of pain in my back, accompanied by crushing pressure. I heard a crack and felt another surge of agony. I really hoped that wasn't my spine buckling under the pressure. I coughed, dropped my sword in the surge of pain, and shuddered helplessly on the floor. I heard a hiss as the pressure relaxed. Instinctively, I rolled the moment that I was free. I was still moving when the leg came down again, smashing against my side and shattering the feeble remains of my barrier. My phoenix sigil kicked in, the stronger barrier managing to prevent the leg from crushing me until the creature hissed and withdrew its leg. I looked up, finding the source of the brief respite. Jin was kneeling on top of the creature's head, repeatedly driving his dagger into the creature's skull. I had zero idea how he'd managed to get up there, but he seemed to be doing some damage until it reared up and threw him right off. I crawled to Selyse Lian, my back flaring with agony with every motion. With the sword in my grasp, I tried to stand, but my legs failed to respond. They were feeling rather numb, too. Even if the creature hadn't snapped my spine like I'd originally feared, it might have done some damage. Arms seemed to be working, though, so I threw the sword. Normally, throwing a sword is a terrible idea. Swords aren't balanced for throwing at the best of times, and doing it without the benefit of working legs was even more difficult. Fortunately, I didn't need to hurl the weapon perfectly. I just had to get it airborne. I was an excellent shot with my gauntlet. A blast of motion hit the sword directly in the pommel and carried Selyse Lian into the spider's neck. It sank in down to the hilt. I'd been aiming for the head, but hey, close enough. Ice began to spread rapidly from the wound. The spider toppled forward, rolling on the ground with a crack, seemingly trying to dislodge the weapon without success. Within another few seconds, the creature's entire head was ice, and it fell still. I was jubilant, but I still couldn't stand. Sarah rushed over to me, one hand still clutching at her throat. She offered me a hand. I accepted it and tried to get up. That was a mistake. I'd never felt pain quite like what I felt in that moment. It spread from the middle of my back where the spider had hit all the way up and down my spine and into my legs. I may have screamed. My vision went red. When I could see again, I felt Sarah wordlessly slip a ring onto my hand. I sent a surge of mana into it, felt the warmth spread across my back and legs in an instant. It still wasn't enough. I lay there for several seconds, tears forming in my eyes before Jin managed to pick me up and throw me over his shoulder.
"We need to go."
To emphasize that, he began moving at a jog. Every impact he made against the ground sent another surge of agony through my back, only to be countered by a wash of warmth from the ring. I didn't know how long it would take the ring to do its work, but for the moment, I was more helpless than I'd ever been. Glancing from side to side, I saw Sarah and Vera moving along with us, and that Derek had busted nearly a dozen holes in the door. The pieces of damaged door were getting stuck on the webbing, so he was being forced to pull the stone pieces out before advancing. That was probably the only reason he hadn't caught up to us already. We passed by a newly formed stairway, one that had soundlessly grown in the center of the room into a hole in the ceiling. If the stairs had gone down, we might have nearly been safe, but nothing was ever quite that easy. Jin carried me to the doorway of the next room. I couldn't see it well from my angle, but I could tell it was open now.
"Vera, go back and get Corin's sword. We're probably going to need it,"
Jin instructed her. I'd never heard him sound that commanding before.
"Got it,"
she replied simply, running back toward the spider.
"What am I missing?"
I asked.
"What's in the next room? I can't see it."
"You're not going to like it," Jin replied.
I winced as he shifted his stance.
"Just tell me. We're not exactly in great shape either way."
"Statues shooting jets of fire?"
Oh, goddess Resh it all. I thought back to how both Jin and I had been incinerated in the test involving fire-breathing statues and closed my eyes. Last time I'd used Selyse Leanne to try to shield myself with ice, I'd nearly killed myself that way.
"There's a door on the other side," Jin continued. "But there's also a central floor tile. I think it might be another stairway, if we can get there and trigger it somehow."
I couldn't think of a way I could get us there safely. We all had barriers or a shroud, but if the flames were as intense as the ones in the test, our protection wouldn't last very long. And Jin couldn't possibly be mobile enough to dodge flames effectively while carrying me. The demigauntlet? Useless here. The Jaden box? No one useful to summon, and we had an anti-teleportation rune on the room anyway. Maybe the box would have overpowered the rune, but I didn't have any good summoning options available either way. Selyse Leanne couldn't make walls of ice like Sarah could. The aura was designed to cut and spread, not form barriers. If she wasn't so exhausted, if she was a bit more powerful, Sarah could have made this trivial. And maybe, just maybe, I could make her strong enough. I tilted my head towards Sarah, wincing at the renewed pain.
"Sarah, just how confident are you that we're actually siblings?"
She raised an eyebrow at me, her lips twisting toward a frown.
"Asking for a good reason. I have a water skin containing a liquid from the tower that I think is probably an enhancement elixir of some kind."
I closed my eyes.
"Okay, not the time for secrecy. It's how I got my attunement. I drank this water, I saw the goddess, and my attunement appeared. Then I saved some of the water and put a preservation enchantment on the water skin."
She lifted a hand to her mouth, and I heard the sickly scrape of ragged laughter before she broke into another fit of coughing.
"Anyway, the important part is that the preservation enchantment isn't as brilliant as I thought. It contaminated the liquid inside with some of my mana, and drinking something with someone else's mana in it is dangerous, potentially fatal. But if we're siblings, your mana type might be close enough to mine."
Sarah looked straight into my eyes, took a deep breath, and then extended her open hand. I understood.
"The water skin is in my belt pouch. I don't think I can reach it."
Sarah moved to my side, opened the belt pouch, unstoppered the bottle, closed her eyes, and began to drink. And within moments, she began to glow. I hadn't turned my attunement back on. As she continued to drink the fluid, her aura flickered yellow, orange, red, yellow, and began to spark. She bent over forward, retching, but only threw up a mouthful of ichor. And as I watched, that ichor froze into ice. Sarah stood up, opening her eyes. They were ice blue without the faintest hint of white. I'd never seen anything close to it. Sarah spun at the sound of another crack from the doorway, lifting a hand. "Wall! Wall! Wall!" Her voice was strong again, unwavering as the broken section of the doorway was filled with ice. More walls sprung up behind it, thicker than the ones she'd conjured before. Sarah turned back to me and shivered before speaking again. "We should go. I will forge a path." Sarah took one more drink from the flask, grimaced, and re-stoppered it. Then she put it back in my pouch. "Whoa, nice work there, Sarah!" Vera arrived with Selyse Leanne in hand and my other sword in her other hand. "That a mana potion or something?" Apparently she hadn't been able to hear the conversation from where she was standing. That was probably a good thing. "Something like that," Sarah replied. "Corin, may I borrow your mana watch?" I nodded and handed it to her. Vera took a step back. "Your eyes, Sarah. I'm fine for now. Wasn't an ordinary mana potion." She reached back to press the mana watch against her attunement mark. As she did, I got a look at it. It was no longer a summoner attunement. It was like nothing I'd ever seen. Attunements always changed in complexity when they grew more powerful. Normally, it was just adding an extra line or shape to an existing design. This was a completely different style, and nothing like anyone I'd seen, not even foreign attunements. She shivered again as she looked at the watch, then handed it back to me. It read 968 of 112. It hadn't increased her mana capacity properly. She was filled with mana that her body couldn't properly contain. "Sarah," I started. "I know, Corin. I'll use it as quickly as I can." I balled my hands into fists. I couldn't do anything else. "Wall! Wall! 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 The way is clear," Jin pronounced. "We should proceed." I reached into my bag and withdrew my etching tool again. "Bring me next to the door. Then the rest of you get inside." They complied. "Okay, turn me around so I can draw on the door." "I'm not sure we have time for this, Corin," Jin noted. "It's going to buy us time." I reached forward, and Jin grudgingly turned me toward the doorframe. I scratched a rune I'd never actually powered before across a combination of the door and frame. It would only be whole when the door was closed. "Sarah, you've got a lung attunement. Can you charge the air near the rune with air mana?" "Easily," she replied, and she blew into the air near the rune. I turned my attunement on, watching the air mana coalesce. It was fascinating. Being in the tower was improving my ability to see mana, just as I'd expected, and I hoped that would be enough to help me manipulate it as well. I brought my hand up to the mana cloud. For a moment, I could feel it, and in that moment, I pushed it into the rune. The rune's halves flared, charged with power but inactive while they were apart. "Okay, Jin, take us in and close the door." Everyone was inside the room when he slammed it shut. The rune halves met, forming a wind rune. The door shook as the rune sent a continuous stream of wind toward where Derek was still working at demolishing the walls of ice. "I hope that's enough to slow him down once he gets through the wall." I kept the etching tool in hand, scratched an anti-teleport rune into the back of the door, and then charged it with my own mana. "Okay, we can move now." As we moved forward, I scanned the room. Sarah had been very thorough. All four walls of the room were encased in ice. The statues were still active, breathing their fire, but the ice was thick enough that they'd barely made any progress at melting through. We moved to the center of the room, finding the square that indicated the presence of another stairway. Vera knelt down, touching the tile. "There's a mechanism somewhere that moves this tile out of the way. Staircase is right under it. Move out of the way." Vera moved. "Ogre, I summon you." An ogre appeared at Sarah's side, shimmering with an icy aura across its skin.
"Master,"
it groaned towards Sarah. "Ogre, break through this floor tile to reveal the stairway." We all cleared the way. The ogre smashed through the tile in a single blow, then took a few more moments to clear away the rubble.
"Please, the master."
"Yes, Ogre, you've done well. Now stay here and guard the top of the stairway. Don't allow anyone to follow us down here. Don't kill them, just incapacitate them."
"Yes, master. I good at stop people,"
The ogre nodded happily. I was pretty impressed. Being a powerful summoner was useful.
Okay, let's head on down, I pronounced.
I'll go first and check for traps,
Vera offered, heading down the stairway. After a few moments, she returned.
All clear.
My back was still in a great deal of pain, but I was starting to feel a tingling sensation, accompanied by periodic spurts of pain in both legs. I thought that was probably a sign that I was recovering, but I didn't know how much longer the process would take.
Jin carried me down the stairs, and Sarah followed last.
Wall!
Sarah formed a barrier of ice at the top of the stairway, right where the tile had previously stood. Not a bad idea. Then she shivered again, and I began to worry.
You feeling okay, Sarah?
No time for worrying about that, she replied.
That was a bad sign.
We reached the bottom of the stairs and found a door. Vera checked it, then opened it. The room it led into was very familiar. It was a two-story room with a massive stairway in the center, three doors downstairs, and pristine red carpeting covering much of the floors. Four tall pillars stood from floor to ceiling, though one of them had a large crack from where Karis had smashed into it, and another had a huge chunk missing. Vera sucked in a breath.
Well, I suppose this is it then. How do we get Katashi's attention?
Professor Orden appeared right in front of us. I hadn't had time to draw an anti-teleportation rune in this room yet.
I believe,
Orden raised her hands, lightning crackling in between them. It's time to teach you children how to behave.
Chapter 22 Permafrost.
On the minus side, apparently Professor Orden had lightning magic. On the plus side, that didn't mean a whole lot when she was standing right next to us. Vera must have realized that at the same time as I did. Still holding both of my swords, I really needed to stop letting her take all my weapons. Vera stepped in and started swinging. Orden dodged the first couple swings, then vanished without a word. She reappeared about 10 feet back, then hurled the lightning at us. The bolt hit Vera dead on, then arced to hit the rest of us. My second barrier, already heavily taxed, snapped. Only a little bit of the lightning managed to make it through, but it still hurt. I shuddered and bit my tongue hard enough to draw blood. Jin set me down a moment later.
I need to handle this, was all he said.
Fair enough, Jin. Go get her.
Vaniv, I summon you!
By the time I managed to push myself into a seated position, Vaniv was floating next to Sarah.
Oh, hey, finally in the tower. Nice room, too. I dig the choice of decor.
The winged man turned his head toward me.
You look kind of terrible.
Yeah, thanks, Vaniv. Need you to focus, I pointed at Orden. She's trying to kill us.
Now that's a bit of an exaggeration,
Orden replied, forming globes of flame in her hands.
I need Vera alive at a minimum. The rest of you? Well, I'd still prefer you alive.
I put a hand to my forehead.
Comforting. I don't suppose you could tell me where you got another attunement. Elementalist doesn't seem like your flavor.
She grinned.
Just more items, darling. Give it a few years as an enchanter. You'll look like you have every attunement in the world, too. Unfortunately, for now, that means you're woefully underprepared to face someone like me.
Vaniv laughed.
Goddess, you love to hear yourself talk, don't you? I mean, I respect that. My voice is amazing. But you're coming on a little strong with the megalomania.
Orden chuckled.
I think I like this one, Sarah. Where'd you get him? Never mind, doesn't matter. I don't know where you got enough mana to summon him, but you're certain to be running.
Wyvern, I summon you!
The vast, draconic beast appeared at Sarah's other side, raising its spine-like tail. Professor Orden blinked.
Well, you're just full of surprises today.
Vaniv cracked his knuckles, which briefly made me wonder how that was even possible with stone hands.
You want me to break her, boss?
Sarah nodded. I prefer her alive.
Can do.
He flapped his way upward toward the ceiling, moving his hands apart, a lance of ice now forming between them.
Oh, children, so overconfident. You think a couple pets are going to change the outcome here?
Ordin pointed a hand at the wyvern. "Wyvern, I control you!" The wyvern shuddered in the air, then flapped closer to Ordin and landed at her feet. That was not a good thing at all. I'd been hoping that she didn't actually have a controller attunement, but even if she didn't, she apparently still had items that could serve that function. On the plus side, she hadn't tried to control us yet. Maybe controlling humans was harder. She'd grabbed Derek, but she needed a ring on his hand. I really wish I'd taken the time to research foreign attunements. Van Eve didn't wait any longer. He just started throwing lances of ice at Ordin. She countered the first couple by throwing the globes of fire from her hands. Then the wyvern interposed itself between them with a shriek, hissing as the lances impacted its hide for minimal effect. I didn't see where Jin had disappeared to, but Vera was charging at Ordin. Ordin flickered again, appearing all the way across the room near where I'd come up from the prison, and threw a ball of flame in Vera's direction. Vera jumped improbably high, taking her right over the fireball, and hurled my personally enchanted sword. Ordin sidestepped, but then Vera was arcing downward, gripping Selyse Lian in both hands. Teleport! Ordin vanished again, appearing right behind where Vera landed and sending a blast of lightning into Vera's back. Vera staggered, but didn't fall. She spun around and charged again, a look of determination on her face. In the air, Van Eve was rapidly hurling blasts of ice and lightning at the wyvern while it tried unsuccessfully to jab him with its spined tail. Sarah was concentrating. With my attunement on for a moment, I could see a trail of mana going from her hands toward the wyvern, and a net of energy forming around it. Presumably, she was either trying to re-establish control or banish the creature somehow. She wasn't saying anything aloud, so I didn't bother her. I tried to stand. That didn't work at all. The pain in my spine was gradually fading, and the wound from biting my tongue had already sealed, but my legs still weren't fully functional. I was starting to get some feeling back, but my legs buckled as soon as I tried to put any weight on them. I was fortunate to be recovering at all. Without the barriers to absorb much of the force, I probably would have been snapped like a twig. That was little comfort when I heard the telltale cracking of repeated blows coming from back up the stairway. Derek had almost caught up to us, and I was still helpless. Communicate.
Guys, Derek is almost here. Be ready.
Sarah nodded, but continued to focus. I had to hope that would be enough. I didn't get a reaction from anyone else, at least that I could see. Vera had caught up to Ordin again, only to take a hit from a blast of flame at point-blank range. She shrugged it off. Her shroud must have absorbed most of it, and managed to land a hit on Ordin's right arm that caused a barrier to flicker into visibility. A thin trail of ice began to spread along the barrier where Selyse Lian had landed. Good. I heard a crash from up the stairway. Less good. I dug into my bag for options. I still had a bit of the flask of attunement water, or whatever it was, but I had no idea what kind of effect it would have on me. The water had clearly made Sarah more powerful, but she wasn't demonstrating anything new, just extra mana, and it was clearly hurting her, too. More mana wasn't going to solve any of my problems. I was an unarmed enchanter. I had no offensive or defensive capabilities to speak of. I did, however, still have my sigils, even if they were mostly drained. I grabbed my phoenix sigil and began to pour energy into recharging it. It was dangerous to push too much mana into it too fast. It was built to recharge itself over time, not to be recharged manually like the school-issued ones. I could feel its capacity pretty easily, though, and it was nowhere close to full. I started gradually filling it back up a bit. I needed all the protection I could get. After that, I stuck my right hand in the Jaden box. Summon Katashi! Nothing happened, just as I'd expected. Either I needed to close the box, requiring me to remove my hand, or Katashi's mark just wasn't a good enough connection to summon him. I pulled my hand out of the box. Who else could I summon? My standard-issue shield sigil was probably made by a university enchanter, but I didn't know who had made it, so I wouldn't know what name to use if I put the sigil inside. Not good enough. I didn't know who'd made the bell either, or any of my other miscellaneous items. I had the book. I could try to summon the voice of the tower,
But that clearly wasn't the entity's real name, and I doubted the box would respond to it. More importantly, Orden worked for the voice, or at least she claimed she had. I had to consider the likelihood that bringing the voice to us might make things worse. We couldn't afford worse. I could hear footsteps on the stairs. I was out of time, and I still didn't have any good summoning options on hand. I needed someone on Katashi's level of power to make a difference. If I didn't have anything to summon him on me, did someone else? Was there something in the room? I scanned the area. It was obvious that the battle between Katashi and Karis had continued after I'd left. The place was a wreck. Beyond the new chunks taken out of the pillar that I'd noted before, there were scorched sections of carpet and cleave marks taken out of several walls. I turned my attunement back on. I could still see Sarah's net weaving around the wyvern. The wyvern was struggling against it. I finally realized that she wasn't trying to control or dismiss it. She was pinning it in place with some kind of binding spell, similar to what I'd seen Alora using against Karis. I didn't realize that Sarah knew a similar spell, but it made sense. Van Eve was still smashing the wyvern with ranged spells, flapping out of the way when it managed to maneuver its tail. The wyvern was battered, but still glowing with an orange aura. Sarah must have pumped a lot of her mana into summoning it, only for the creature to be turned against us. Vera was still hounding Orden at close range, landing more hits to spread ice across Orden's barrier. Orden didn't look worried. She wasn't even teleporting at this point, just dodging and retaliating with blasts of fire. I could see a golden shroud beneath Orden's barrier, implying at least one of her attunements was citrine level, and she was no longer suppressing it. Unsurprising, but good to know. Vera's aura was still orange, as I'd expected. But none of those things were what I was searching for. My eyes scanned every surface for anything glowing that looked out of place. I wasn't disappointed. I found multiple splotches of brilliant color on pillars, on carpet, even a bit on a wall. Dried blood. Either Katashi's or Karis's. Honestly, at this point, I'd take either. And hand over hand, I started crawling toward the closest source, a splotch on the chamber's central stairway. Derek arrived at the entrance to the chamber before I got there. "Derek's here!" I managed to shout, hoping to alert the others in time. Sarah spun, discarding her binding web, and hurled a broad blast of frost at the doorway. Derek's hand twitched, then a flaming sword was in his hand, cutting through the ice. Sarah jumped backward. Then she was floating upward, carried by air mana, and hurled more blasts of ice. She winced after the third attack, the effort finally seeming to be taxing her, but Derek was undeterred, walking forward as he struck her spells out of the air. As Sarah paused between breaths, Derek rushed forward and leapt. I twisted toward him and fired a blast from my gauntlet, but he slapped that aside with the flat of his blade. "Wall!" A wall of ice appeared between the two of them. Derek took a chunk out of it with a slash, but the wall was too thick to part in a single strike. He impacted the surface and fell back to the ground, beginning to burrow into it with more swings. Sarah floated higher and started to cough. "Resh, she's running dry. Could I get the flask back to her? No, probably not at my current angle, and giving her more was probably dangerous anyway." I took another shot at Derek's back. He deflected it without even looking. I was wasting my time. Van Eve flew over me, the wyvern managing to smash him with a swipe of its tail as he retreated. He crashed into a nearby wall, recovered quickly, and continued to retreat. I wanted to help him, but he wasn't the priority right now. I kept crawling, but the splotch on the middle of the stairway seemed like miles away. Derek was almost done cutting through the ice wall. What could I do to stop him? I turned my head toward him. "Hey, Derek! What's your greatest weakness right now?" He paused his attack immediately to turn toward me.
"Arguably my susceptibility to magic rings," he blinked. "And apparently I'm still forced to answer your questions honestly."
I grinned. Finally, something to work with.
"Okay, Derek, what would be the easiest way to free you from the ring's control?"
"You'd have to take it off."
He turned back to swinging at the ice wall after answering, but I wasn't done with him. I kept crawling, talking while I moved. I needed to keep him busy. How? "Oh, I've got this.
What is everything that happens in the first book of the Blackstone Assassin series?
It was a pretty fair gamble that he'd read it. Practically everyone in our generation had, and it was required reading in a lot of schools. He turned toward me, frowned, and began,
"Well, it's supposed to be his life story. He begins by talking about..."
I tuned him out. More crawling, less Blackstone. He turned back to the task of chopping at the wall, but he was clearly distracted. His swings were going slower and seemed almost aimless. I was halfway to the blood splotch when Orden appeared at the top of the stairway and turned to Derek. "Derek, stop prattling and knock these children out. Start with Sarah."
"Yes, Professor Orden."
"Resh." I turned around, finding Professor Orden stalking toward me. "That was a clever idea, Corin, but it's over now." She shook her head, preparing another globe of flame. A glance downward showed me Vera's location, face down on the floor, unmoving. I turned back to Professor Orden with a grimace.
"You're quite right, Professor. You've put up a great fight, but it's time for you to surrender."
I reached into my pouch. "Cute, but you're the one out of tricks." I raised a single eyebrow. "Am I now?" I threw the bell at her. The bell rang mid-flight, but it wasn't charged with mana anymore, so I didn't vanish. I fixed that with a gray mana blast from my gauntlet when it got close enough for her to be in range. With my attunement on, I saw air mana and transference mana swell out of the bell to envelop Orden, only to dissipate with no effect. Orden shook her head. "Adorable. You must be getting desperate to try to teleport me, Corin. Teleportation defenses are the first thing a wayfarer learns." I probably should have expected that. "Since it's obvious you're not going to surrender, we'll do this the hard way." The globe of fire in her hand swelled from fist-sized to pumpkin-sized. There was no way my barrier could handle that, even with the amount I'd recharged it. I raised my gauntlet, hoping to hit the sphere and combust it, but I knew it wouldn't be enough. Orden raised her hand to throw the sphere, and then her head jerked forward, and she fell. Jin appeared right behind her, shaking his head. He had a pistol in his hand, facing backward. He'd smacked her over the head with it.
"She really needs to stop forgetting about me."
He kicked her body once, flipping her over and down another couple stairs, and then knelt and put a hand on her forehead. I saw a ripple of mana appear over her body.
"That should keep her out for a while."
He hit her from so close that her shroud barely cushioned the blow, I realized. Not a bad tactic. But what did he just do to keep her unconscious? Was that an item or his attunement? I was about to ask when Derek landed next to us and punched Jin straight in the chest. Jin flew backward off the stairway and out of my sight. I turned my gaze up to Derek. "I was really hoping that knocking her out was going to free you." Derek turned his head down to me.
"No such luck."
He jumped to dodge a lance of ice from Sarah, then turned his gaze back toward her. I reached forward to try to grab Derek's ring hand, but he just pulled it out of the way and then jumped upward to swing at Sarah. Vanive flew in the way. Derek slashed him across the chest, drawing a streak of blood, and Vanive crashed to the ground. Sarah screamed as Vanive fell and pointed a hand at Derek.
"Wyvern, handle him!"
The wyvern swept downward as Derek descended from his jump, aiming to pierce Derek with its tail. He sidestepped, grabbed the tail with his offhand, and chopped the barbed end off with a twitch of his wrist. Sarah hurled another blast of ice at him, but he deflected it as the wyvern screamed in pain and flew backward. Derek leapt upward again, swinging his sword and sending a golden shockwave of cutting force toward the wyvern. The wyvern fell to the floor in two pieces, vanishing a moment later. I blinked. That was a powerful attack. I'd never seen anything tear apart a Spire Guardian like that. We were in a lot of trouble if he decided to hit us that hard. As Derek landed, he swung a backhand. Jin reappeared, staggering with a bleeding nose.
"Not going to work on me,"
Derek remarked sadly. Sarah turned her head downward.
"Corin, Jin, I need you to buy me 30 seconds.
30 seconds? I doubted I could buy 5. I debated options. Jin set his jaw and jumped on Derek's back. Curse it. I could do that, too. I crawled closer and grabbed Derek's left leg with both arms.
Seriously?
Derek flailed and twisted, trying to dislodge us. I lost my grip first, but Jin was surprisingly strong. That was when I first noticed Jin's orange aura, one he'd finally stopped suppressing. It was nowhere near as impressive as the flashing green around Derek, but it was an incredibly welcome sight.